Hey, what's going on, everybody? Excited to welcome Music Record Shop on sponsoring the Rock Paper Podcast. Go down and check them out, 4191A Manchester Avenue in the Grove, right between the demo and the ready room. Official store hours are Tuesday through Sunday, 12 p.m. to 8 p.m. They do a new music happy hour every Friday. Go down and get yourself some new music. They've got a great local selection. They have also a CD, vinyl, and some tapes. So go pick up some new music, support local, musicrecordshop.com. Are you and your friends trying to figure out what to do tonight? Hit up do314.com, the best place to find out about all the concerts and comedy shows and art openings and other cool stuff going on around St. Louis every night of the week. They're also giving away tickets to shows and festivals all the time. Go follow them on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at do314. Take it from me, I'm always trying to find shows, and this is where I go, do314.com.
Say something, Jake.
You're supposed to say, this is John, and I'm supposed to say, this is Jake.
You said I'm going to do all the work.
Well, I said, you're going to do all the work, yeah. So you say, this is John.
Hey, this is John.
And this is Jake.
And you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast. See, we could have said it at the same time. And like,
oh, you want to
say you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
All right, well, then we can do it at the same time. All right, ready?
We should keep this all the same. All right. Hey, this is John.
And this is Jake. And you're listening to the Rock Paper Podcast.
Should have kept it the way it was. Rock Paper Podcast.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, episode 97.
Ooh.
Hanging out. I've been down this way quite a bit lately in the Tower Grove area. Hanging out with John Maddy and Jake Gashlock. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hey. Happy to be here.
I'm Jake, he's John.
Yeah, that's Jake.
He's the goofy one.
And I'm having fun.
Before we get going, I wanted to little plug for them because they have a great product, and this is unpaid plug. But I went to
free.
Yeah, I went to Gorilla Street Food the other day, right up the yesterday actually, right up the street.
Yeah,
they just opened up their new store and. And I went there for lunch and got the Flying Pig Burrito.
Which is delicious.
Amazing.
Yes. John had that at when we went saw Doug Benson. He was outside
Firebird.
In his truck.
Yeah.
At the Firebird.
I was at that show.
Oh,
there Jeff Tate?
No, we went to
Jeff Tate was there. It was the podcast, Doug Loves Movies or whatever.
Yeah.
He was a guest.
You're right, yep.
He was at Westport that weekend.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah. Well, we were there and we didn't even know each other then yet.
Yep. And now we do.
Yeah.
And we'll probably be at more places and not even see each other. Half the places we go to is pretty busy.
And dark. I don't know.
You go to a lot of big concerts and stuff, dude. You're always out there.
I like to party.
Anyway, did you have a finishing story to Gorilla Street Food before I really interrupted you?
Yeah, that was bullshit. Don't do that again.
This is
my show.
He interrupted you by saying it was delicious, though. He interrupted back. That is delicious food.
He's so stern about it. That is bullshit. And
Yes,
exactly.
But no, definitely go check out Gorilla Street Food if you haven't. It's a fantastic place. So,
they're getting the free plug, not us. This is a completely different direction.
No, I don't even know you guys. I'm a, definitely go get yourself some Flying Pig Burrito.
Mm-hmm. What is that stuff they call it? Like that little, like, it was like white stuff that they put on top? It's not sour cream. Don't just say sour cream and treat me like a dick.
I don't know, man.
I was going to say rice, but then you said on top. So then
it's like a
sauce. You said a special sauce you liked. They put a special sauce on John's.
Yeah. It's real runny, salty, you know.
But he liked it. So that's the important part is they liked it.
Gorilla Street Food knows how to make my Flying Pig Burritos.
Yeah. But yeah, they just opened up the store and it's cool. I'm glad they been successful.
Yeah, man.
So anyway, there it is. I met you guys. We officially just met I officially just met Jake. But I've been following you guys online for a while. You guys, I try to be a big supporter of my local music and comedy scene, and I've been seeing your guys' names, and it seemed like two guys that I needed to get to know. So I
we tricked them.
Yeah. Got them.
Got them.
What's actually funny about doing the podcast today that I saw on Facebook, you know how you can look back on today?
Yeah.
Well, today, actually, me and John became Facebook friends. It said that on my Facebook today when I was on it. So a year ago from today.
Was that your time hop or something?
Yeah, yeah. It told us that we became
friends
Facebook friends.
Maddie.
Today.
Congratulations.
1 year.
Guys.
This is our 1 year friendiversary.
I'm excited to
we're
be
celebrating
a part of this.
Yeah.
This is, I'm honored.
I feel like we're moving too fast, Jake.
Sorry. That's just going to be exciting.
Just got friends a year ago, and now we're on a podcast
yeah,
together.
Yeah, it's crazy, all the things that we've done.
I mean, a radio show's okay, but not.
Right.
It's getting crazy.
Podcast is a big commitment, you know?
I mean, dude, not only that, we're on Rock Paper Podcast.
Yeah.
And we had to rent out this studio space.
Right.
For $600 a month.
So you guys mentioned that you guys did a show for a while together or something.
We were on AM radio for a little while.
It was a good time.
Yeah,
yeah, we had fun.
Yeah,
it was a lot of fun. It was 1380 the X AM radio. Right before they got bought out by what's his
basically
name?
Yahoo Sports,
something Marshall.
Yeah, Dan Marshall.
Dan Marshall. Yeah,
they bought it out. Now it's all sports, but most of it's just
Kevin
syndicated.
Slayton back on the air.
Yeah, there's like three actual DJs or four actual DJs on the show, and the rest is like just streamed from whatever, you
right.
know, where, you know, the
Yahoo Sports.
So, not even based in St. Louis, so, huh. but whatever.
But when we had it, it was extreme radio.
Yeah.
It was like a bunch of a big mix of music shows that would showcase each different genre. Face the Music STL was real big on anything St. Louis that has music. Me and him started out on a hard rock station with Heather Marie on Sweet Freakings, like interning,
yeah.
like running boards and stuff, and then eventually she pretty much just stopped showing up, and then
we took it over. Rebranded,
yeah.
and it was fun. It was a good little time we had.
Called Just Joking with Jake and John,
because
we like alliteration. We're simple.
Yep. It's easy to remember.
Is that something you guys...
Well, we still own the brand.
Yeah, right.
Still are. Nobody else has it. We
TM.
Own that.
Yeah.
We own that.
So. But is that something you guys want to do? I mean, is that radio...
Absolutely.
That'd be awesome. Yeah. Right. If there was ever a Craigslist ad, we would apply tomorrow.
Yeah.
We almost applied on... I almost did. I found something on Craigslist and I shared it with them. And it was like, we're looking for radio DJs. And then you fill out this application. Oh, application fee is $150.
Yeah. So we're like, nope.
This isn't a scam.
Yeah, no way. Sounds legit. Real legit. But no, yeah, I guess you saw John or met John at the competition we were just in this last couple of months, which was at the Westport Funny Bone.
Right.
We were both lucky enough to make it to the finals.
Yeah.
And John was even more lucky because he got to come in, what was it, second?
Yeah, yeah.
Which is pretty good.
Yeah,
that was pretty
fun.
Good.
Yeah, that was it was a good night. I was invited by the club to be some sort of a celebrity judge of sorts. I don't really know what that means because I didn't know I was a celebrity. But
I was gonna say celebrity.
Yeah, I mean they rolled out the red carpet for me and had bottle service and all sort. You know, no,
I didn't see any of that.
You
I've
didn't
never
see
seen
all
one
the.
It all makes sense why John came in second now.
Right.
It all adds up.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I met John before that, and then all of a sudden I was the judge
yeah.
for John's comedy show. It was great.
Oddly enough, the first time they ever had bottle service, the club didn't even know about it.
Yeah.
But no, I'm sure it was a good show. That's the one thing that I disliked about it because I was so pumped about going to the finals and being a part of it because I wanted to watch all the other comedians perform
right.
their best stuff on stage. But it was so crowded that all us comedians had to sit in the lobby and we couldn't even hear it.
Yeah.
So I was sitting there watching the Cardinals game on a 12-inch, you know, tube TV behind the bar.
Yeah.
Listen to this guy complaining that he did a sold-out show.
No, I'm not trying to complain, but that's the one thing I was really looking forward to is to see all these comedians, a lot of which I hadn't seen perform yet and do their best stuff, including John and you know, a couple other people that I'm friends with that was, you know.
Oh, that was the first time you saw me?
No, but it would have been nice.
We've been at this for a year.
Apparently you did really well. Everybody I heard said he did really well. Like, normally John is terrible, but that time he did great. So you saw a good show.
Yeah. No. That was what I found very exciting about the whole thing, too, was there was a lot of... I've seen Duke before.
Oh yeah, the winner.
Yeah, and he might have been it though. Like I was trying to think
as far as who you've seen before.
Yeah, that night. Before that. Yeah, so so that was exciting to see a lot of fresh, young, you know, faces coming up in this comedy scene, and so it was great.
I mean, it started with like 50 or 60 comedians to start with. So to just watch the final nine of all these up and coming comedians would, I mean, it had to be a good show. Like, yeah. I wish I could have seen
that. That's
as well.
The thing. Like, it was down to the final eight, but there's way more than eight great, good comics in St. Louis, mm-hmm. and too many to name. Like, those guys obviously made it to the finals for a reason, but St. Louis comedy in general and a whole is a lot of. Untapped potential. I don't know.
For sure.
Hidden treasure.
You could have had a final 20 and had a full show and it would have been amazing, just like the final eight. You know what I mean? You could have had another 12 comedians that are just as funny, honestly, as those eight, but they just couldn't take more than that for the finals, you know?
Right.
So that's what's so good about it.
Yeah. And then they had Sean O'Brien and Josh Arnold there, too, and two of my buddies, so that was
both very
fun to see those guys.
Mm-hmm. Always hilarious, both of them.
Yeah. It was a great night all together, man. I was, you know, even though it was a little long, being that you had eight or ten comics, I guess, total between, and then Josh did almost like half an hour, 45 minutes or something in the middle. Like,
just while they were tallying up stuff and whatnot,
So like it did kind of stretch on a bit, and like, but I mean, like it was a lot of really good laughs though, and like and a lot of those I saw. So I guess we'll tie it into here. You guys have a big show July 31st. You guys are putting on
we're doing a comedy. It's called Comedy Showdown, I think. Comedy Throwdown.
What's the name of that show?
Throwing it down.
We're doing a show of stuff and things.
We actually
decided to do something different. Yeah, at least I've never heard somebody do on a comedy show, and that's where we just kind of chose back and forth our favorite comedians or the ones that we wanted to have with us on our team. So we each picked a team of three, and we're going to have them, you know, do just stand up, and we're going to introduce each one of our own people, and then at the end of the night, the audience is going to vote on who they think was the best team. So where we were just doing an individual competition before, now it's more of like which team was better, so, you know, my feelings don't get hurt when I get bad graded, you know.
So did you guys have like a draft or something?
It was real detailed.
Somebody picked first, and we each picked one at a time. Jake picked two in the first time because he's a fucking asshole. But
it's true. I jumped the gun. I asked two people in the same time. Like, not same time, but I asked one, waited like 4 or 5 hours. I wanted to get the show on the road, so I asked somebody else, and they both got back to me at the same time. So I was like, John, you picked first. I get two, then you get one, then I get one. Or, you know, he gets two, then I get one.
Traded up for the first round draft.
Yeah,
that's going to be a great show. Jake's team is... Nathan Orton, Sean Don, and Max Price.
And now I have to remember his team, which is...
No, I'll tell you. Actually, one of my comics can't make it, and I had to switch up.
Oh.
So I have Stryker Spurlock and Matt Rose. I was supposed to have Ben Johnson, but he has work issues.
Uh-oh, so I've never even heard. This is a person coming out of woodworks here. Uh-oh.
Bam, bam, bam. Andrew Frank.
Oh, man. He's pulling out that. That's... Oh.
Chances are he'll get a gig that weekend and back out, so I'll have to find another
comic. Oh, so it's a backup?
My backup is Sean Arredondo.
There you go.
I'm coming with the fire on the first show that we're having.
Sean Atari Nintendo.
Yeah. Sean Atari Nintendo. I love that. But this show is at America's Tavern, July 31st. It's a Friday, 9 p.m. The show is free. You walk in there, get to enjoy a comedy show. We're going to enjoy lots of laughs. We're going to have a couple special referees, maybe even wearing referee shirts.
You never know.
MCs, if you may, so we don't have to do all the legwork. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, sounds like a real good time. Stryker has been on the show. Ben has been on the show. I had him on with Max Fitzgerald.
Oh, cool.
But Ben is no longer in the competition. But on your team?
No,
so,
yeah. No,
so he's dead anymore. To us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's still a funny guy.
Yeah.
No, not anymore.
not as funny as his team, though.
Yeah.
And I have Andrew on the show. So, but yeah, I met...
Cool.
I'm friends with Max on Facebook. He's another one I've been... and Nathan also. I've been keeping an eye on those guys. But yeah, Max was also... In the running for the finals.
I went to high school with him, so he actually is the one that brought me into the comedy scene. He was doing it. Now, like I said, I was Facebook friends with him because we went to high school together. He's 2 years younger than me. And then I was like, all right, I keep seeing him post about it. I just messaged him and was like, hey, man, you mind if I tag along one time? Started going along with him, and, you know,
yeah,
rest is history.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, thanks, Max.
Yeah. Do you guys remember your first night going up in this stuff?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Was it after awful or what?
Long Islands, yeah.
Yeah?
No, it wasn't awful.
Because, I listen to a lot of podcasts, and a lot of them, you know, talk about they bomb the first time, but they're already addicted to it, and they want to go back and do it, you know, even though they're, you know,
yeah,
terrible in a sense that their first time, they still want to keep, you know, this is something that's exhilarating to keep trying, and
yeah.
But I was wondering if
what happened with your first time?
My first time was pretty trial by fire. I decided to go with Max to the Westport Funny Bone open mic and told a bunch of people ahead of time, so I had like 20 people in the audience, and besides that, for whatever reason, it was really packed. As far as Westport Funny Bone open mic goes, it was pretty crowded, so when I saw that, I got nervous and had some White Russians, and after that, I went up there.
Dude.
And I did a lot better than I thought I would. So after that, it was kind of like, my mindset was like, that's the worst thing that could have happened. I would have rather I bombed off the start and I worked from there instead of like thinking I do good, because then in the back of my mind, that bomb sesh is going to come eventually. Whereas I'd rather just get it out of the way, you know? So
right.
I don't have that excuse of saying, hey, it's my first time. That's why I bombed. That excuse is now gone.
Yeah.
So it made me nervous, but it was fun. And I didn't do too shabby for the first time, I feel like, cool. As far as first times go.
That's awesome.
How about you?
The first time was at Westport as well. Here's what I did. I did three nights in a row, Westport, and then this is back October of 13. So, and this is like right when Valley Park Open Mic, or Valley Park Funny Bone opened up. So I had that Wednesday night, and then Fitz's Thursday night. On Tuesday, I only brought like 5 people, my very first time ever, and I didn't do that bad. But, you know, they say, hey, it's his first time. Everybody be nice to him.
Exactly.
You know, make him feel good about himself. Yeah. So I won't say that it was because after that, for probably the next 2 months, I just ate shit every time. And here's the thing.
But that's good. See, that's what I'm saying. That's what, yeah.
Yeah, but I knew right off the bat I wanted to keep doing it because I did it 3 nights in a row. And then on the third night is when I brought like 30 people to the Fitz's open mic every Thursday night at 10 p.m. You're welcome, John Vinigoni. And that is the worst I did ever.
Yeah.
It was in front of 30 of my friends.
You felt good. You felt like hot shit. You're like, oh yeah, I'm doing comedy now. Come see me.
Yeah.
30 people.
25 of those 30 never seen my show since.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And like, wow, that guy sucks.
Basically, take his story right there, what he just did at Fitz's, and then replace that with me in the finals. And that's about how the finals went for me, and how at least I thought it went in my mind. It was pretty much the story he just told right there. But so I feel your pain on that.
That's awesome.
It is. It was, dude. I wish you would have seen it.
I think for anybody who starts out comedy, when you first start out, like, it's, you're gonna do crappy when you first start. It's just like you said, or you get addicted,
yeah,
and you just want
to
keep doing
it. So the hive, one laugh.
Yeah.
Like, one laugh will happen. You'll be like, hey, I made that one guy laugh. I want more of that.
Because it doesn't matter. Because, like, when you first start doing a drug of some kind, you don't have to do that much to get that real big high.
That's what I heard.
You just want more and more laughs, which means drugs, and then it just keeps...
Sure.
Yeah.
Were you guys always, you know, class clown kind of guys, or is it something...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was always pretty much the thing. I mean, I don't know.
I was pretty stupid in high school.
I wasn't, but I played the teachers right to where I could do and say whatever I want, not whatever I wanted, but got away with a lot more stuff to where I could be funnier than the average person because I sweet talked the teachers, yeah, man. I found the fun ones and I exploited them till they liked me.
I don't really know how to explain me in high school when I was younger because I didn't get voted class clown. I got voted most unique, which means the weirdest fucker in that grade.
Yeah, pretty much. I would say you're one of the most unique people I've ever met. I'll continue that. He's still the most unique.
I will take that and run with it. Oddly enough, because they pick a male and a female for each, the female for most unique, I guess I should say her stage name, Blyer Spanks, I think her name is. She does a lot of, I guess you'd call it dancing or performing at a lot of venues around here. And she like designs her own costumes and stuff like that. She gets big draws.
Almost like a burlesque show?
Yeah, I guess you'd say
a burlesque. So you dress around like a nicer, like almost, it's basically like a nicer lingerie is what a burlesque show ends up being.
I don't know how to explain it. It's definitely a cool form of art. But she was the other most unique. So
yeah, so she's kicking your ass.
Yeah, she is. She's killing it.
Because you don't make any of your own outfits. I don't even think you buy your own clothes, honestly. Like,
you can't buy free stuff. You know what I'm saying? I got this shirt from Miller Lite because they put a Miller High Life bottle cap on my Miller Lite bottle. And I called them up. They're like, oh, we'll send you a shirt because we can't give you free beer over the phone. I was like, all right.
I need that'll a shirt. That'll do. You got any shorts or socks in there? I'm running low. Yeah. On clean ones.
Like, they don't even got to be new, man. I just, what's in your closet, you know?
I was named Biggest Heart by Mike Senior.
Biggest Heart. Yeah. Oh, shame. You should. Well, why is that? Did you have a specific incident in high school that kind of put you in that?
He actually got rushed to the hospital because he had a large heart. So like, what do we give this weird dude that always had heart surgery? Yeah. Oh, we'll give him the biggest heart. Duh.
We're just giving you what you have. You
know? Sorry, but no, is there a real story besides the one that I just made up? Like, no. People with heart defects.
It's bad that I'm laughing so hard.
That's the real reason I'm even more sorry.
No, I don't know that there was a one, like, you know, particular incident or anything, but it just, I guess they thought I was a nice guy and all that kind of stuff or whatever. I don't know.
It's all about attitude all the time without thinking twice.
I don't know. I guess that's still relevant. I mean,
absolutely. You strike me as a nice guy.
I do a lot to, I guess that would, you know, fall into the big heart thing, but I do a lot, you know, even the show and, you know, my rundown on Friday and Saturday nights trying to bump up a bunch of shows and stuff. And, you know, I'm not getting paid for that. I just enjoy it. And I care about these people. I support what they're doing and I believe in their talents. And so I guess that all kind of falls in.
I think you've alerted me of a couple of Aaron Cam shows.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because of that. I love
Aaron Cam and the One Drops.
Yeah, man.
Great band.
Jake turned me on to them, too.
Yep.
Well, yeah. I really like that you do post, like, here's what's happening on Friday.
Love it. Yeah, I read them.
Comedy shows, music shows, all that. And, like, I've been telling people, you know, hey, follow these people. Or follow, you know, get a hold of Shane or go follow Rock Paper Podcast and see what's going on in St. Louis. Because you're kind of putting, like, you're putting in the groundwork for everybody to help promote themselves easily so they can make some money. Maybe that turns into you being an entity in St. Louis. Because I think, how long have you been doing this?
June was 1 year of the show.
Awesome. Nice.
But I mean, I've been following music, you know, long time now. Like, that's where before doing the show, I was writing like a local music album review kind of blog. So I mean, I've been doing a similar kind of line of work, you know, without getting paid for a long time, but yeah, it's like it's not really work, but it's just it's a hobby, you know.
Oh, it's work.
It's well, work. I mean, just no pay.
Yeah, correct. I mean, whenever we had a radio show, it wasn't paid, and we called it work. I would say I was going to work.
I put in work. I mean, I do a lot of hours doing the show and everything else, but it's you know, it's just for the love. I really enjoy, you know, the music, the comedy, the people, and everything. You know, it's just like, it's really cool to be a part of
the St. Louis scene that's upcoming.
Yeah, right.
For sure.
Absolutely.
I 100% agree.
So, yeah. If I can do what, you know, even this kind of thing, a little podcast like this, and then if it helps.
Sounds disappointing. Even
when I'm this.
Well, I'm just saying.
These two assets.
Yeah.
This dude's apartment.
Yeah. No, I mean, but if, like, you know, just the fact that a podcast could help, like, that's, you know, that's exciting. So
yeah, it can go to millions of people's ears in a minute. I mean,
yeah,
for sure,
it's cool. The internet.
So that's
man.
A little bit about Shane, guys.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah, there you go.
Let's get to know Shane.
So, well, like, do you guys have any favorites or people that you like push you like? That you saw and you're like, man, that's kind of what I want to do. I want to go into comedy, do that kind of stuff. Is there any influences like that? Or,
Yeah, I mean, just growing up, I always liked watching the Comedy Central Presents stuff.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't say I modeled myself after the person, but it was the one that, like, inspired me because of the way he did it and just did his own thing and went with it was Mitch Hedberg. Just because when I first saw him when I was younger, I watch all these comedians, and they're all walking around pacing back and forth, being loud or animated, or not being loud or animated, but still pacing back and forth. And then you watch Mitch Hedberg,
right?
And he sits down with his sunglasses on and stares at the ground and says one-liners the whole time. And I was like, you know what? Like, you know, I don't know. Just maybe want to like be different or do a different comedy type. I don't know.
Yeah,
it makes it look so easy that you think you can do it, Jay.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that, I do. There has been, I mean, I'm sure a lot of them are influenced by Mitch as well, like you're saying, but sure. But there's definitely a big influx in sort of alternative comedy. So now there's a lot of guys that are, you know, before, you know, maybe 90s or whatever, you know, there was an sort of a mold, you know, the typical stand-up comic kind of thing, you know, mm-hmm. And it's like, but even, you know, even for all that, like you look at guys, all the successful ones were always different, you know. It's like somebody, you know, you look at the 80s, you had like Foxworthy and Roseanne and Dice Clay and all, you know, they're all like very different people.
Yeah.
You know, they broke out of the mold kind of thing. And then you got guys, like you said, coming up like Mitch that are, you know, monotone and stood there the whole time. And
sounds like a teacher reading a lecture almost at right. something, but he's hilarious. Like, you know what I mean? It's like the most uninteresting way to say things, but everyone's ears sure. are on what he's saying. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, even though it's not the way he says it is just so boring. It's not sounding exciting at all, but the reaction from that boring sentence you just said
right.
is outrageous. You know what I mean?
His delivery is perfect with his content.
Exactly.
I don't know how much time he spent making bits like that and getting them down like that, but he makes it look like it's easy. But if you try to do a Mitch Hedberg joke, you have to rehearse it quite a few times before you can even do it. And it's a simple, you know, maybe a 10-word joke.
Sure.
And like,
but the way the different, you know, emphasis he puts.
I quote Mitch almost like a daily basis. Mm-hmm. Like I just going through life, there'll be like I remember, you know, like the vending machine at work, and I always just laugh because I think of, like, you know, that line where, you know, he's like, whatever, he's like GG or whatever, you know, he's like, you gotta let me know there's a GG. He's like, I didn't know that, you know, never learned my AA's, BB's, CC's, god damn it, you know. So and then he says, you know, that the what if there was a vending machine that sold vending machines? Like, that had to be a real fucking big.
It's huge.
Shit like that. So anyway, just, you know, little things like that. Like, I start thinking of Mitch just in daily life, and it makes me laugh. And that's how I get through the day.
Yeah, me too. So. That and sometimes a little help from Mary Jane.
Yeah.
That's who I'm endorsed by. Mary Jane.
She gives smoke great lung jobs, or whatever they call it. I don't know.
Lung jobs, that's it.
Just give up, John. What are you doing?
Lung jobs, that's it. No, you got it. You nailed it. I'm going to go get a lung job for Mary Jane tomorrow. Sounds good to me.
So I feel stupid. All right, get that thought out of your head.
Yeah.
Out of your head.
Don't worry, well, I did that.
Nah, it's all right. We go full raw here.
Yeah. So what about you, John? Do you have a particular,
Well, I mean, I would say ultimately, my dad, and it's not because he did comedy he would do a lot of quoting people telling jokes, and he's the guy that got me to enjoy comedy, you know. He liked George Carlin, he had albums with like Jeff Foxworthy, he's the guy who showed me that. Rodney Carrington was a big fan of, you know. My dad was kind of a blue-collar guy, so he liked a lot of that stuff. But he also showed me stuff like Richard Pryor and all that. And then, I don't mean to get sad, but about a year and a half before I started comedy, he passed away. So I guess once I kind of put all that stuff together, I decided that, you know, I was getting bored with life. I want to do something, and that's what I kind of got led into doing. Hmm. And it didn't get led by anybody. It was pretty much just what I wanted to do, I guess.
Sorry to hear that.
Oh, it's not. It's nothing to be sorry about. It happens.
Yeah, so you got to? Did he get to see you perform though?
No, he passed away about a year and a half before I even started.
Before he started. Okay.
Yeah.
I was thinking.
Well, you know, you go through that, and then you kind of put yourself back together, type thing. And then,
Yeah, man, that's tough.
I shouldn't have even brought that. But I mean, he's the guy that made me want to.
But yeah, it's your story, man. It's like, you know. It's who you are, and not nothing. But yeah, it's.
I leave for 1 second to take a pee, and you guys start talking about sad stuff. Yeah. What's up with that? Jeez, God, man, Heartbreaking stuff.
You're back on the comedy train.
Back on the comedy train.
People that I've liked myself without him showing me, I like Jim Brewer a lot.
Yeah.
I think he's got great stories, great voices, great animation. Like, he even does sound effects with the microphone.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
There's a set he does. It's on Netflix, I think it still is. It's called In Laughter for All, is the album title.
Okay.
And I've watched that, like, probably 15 times.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just find it funny.
I don't know if I saw that one, but I'm a huge Brewer fan myself. I love Hardcore is the one I watched a lot.
That was the one on Comedy Central.
Yeah. But all that whole AC/DC...
Pokey!
Yeah.
John loves that, dude.
All that stuff, man.
John's all about that. John turned me on to that guy, too.
Yeah.
I showed him that same album I was just telling you about.
Yep.
I was like, dude, watch this. He's like, oh, great.
No, I liked it. It was good.
Yeah.
That whole bit is just genius with the liquor at a party and the stomach and all that stuff. That's just so good. And then...
Oh, no. You don't take the back door. Leave the way you came in.
That's it. Everybody out. But just the impressions, you know, the Spanish voice for the, you know, tequila, the Russian voice for the vodka and all that, you know, just, it's so funny. It's just a great bit. But
I wish I could do impressions. That's what I wish I could do with comedy.
Show them your greatest impression.
It's my only impression I can ever do. It's the Foss. Hey! It's supposed to be stupid.
You get the bigger kick out of it than
anybody. I do. I said it's the only thing I can do. That's the only one I got.
I laugh more at him laughing, getting the kick out of it.
So is he. That's why he makes me do it. Because he knows I laugh at it because I know it's stupid. He laughs at it because I'm laughing at it. That's the only reason. If I just did it and didn't laugh, he would not even think it was... He wouldn't even tell me to do it again.
Right.
But it's the fact that I think it's hilarious that makes him laugh.
Yeah.
And that's why we have sex sometimes.
Whoa, what? I've never been one
have sex for
what? Yeah. What? What happened here?
We are raw on Rock Paper Podcast.
I've never been one to do impressions, but I do feel like I'm pretty good at like mimicking things. Like, you know, if I could definitely hear something and, you know, well, I was doing it before.
It's true, you were. That's why I picked it. That's what brought it up, was you just did what... The Jim Brewer, the expression he made when he did the one, and it reminded me of how he would, like...
Oh.
So when I saw that, that's what made me think of, like, I want to be...
I've never, honed in the... You know, like, and I've never been...
Talk to yourself in the mirror.
Yeah.
Never heard that shit. Me neither, that's why.
But, like, even that... I've had this shit stuck in my head for a week, at least.
Is this the smoothie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of want you to get it. I want that smoothie.
When?
Now.
I'll make it.
You're an idiot.
Wait, what?
That guy's making it.
Yeah, diggity. I make a smoothie for him.
So I've been walking around my house for at least a week, just doing that whole I make a smoothie for him.
That's pretty good.
So I wouldn't say I'm good at impressions, but I can hear things and mimic it and do my own. But I don't know. I guess that's sort of an impression. But
it is. Well, mimicking. I guess there's a difference between mimic. I don't know.
But like you know, if I feel like you watch like Fallon or something, and he somebody throws him a name, and then he can just he has all this material that
you
can do as a
pull
voice
out of that deck and do it. Yeah,
and it's just it's incredible that like how easy he can go into that. And so that's the thing. I have to like do the quote. I can't.
Yeah. So I guess that's the difference between imitations and mimicking.
Right.
You can mimic very well and do the exact same things that they do with their expressions.
Right.
Where Jimmy Fallon can be like Bruce Springsteen burning in an oven right now, and he can just like make an entire like Bruce Springsteen song about burning, dying in an oven.
Yeah.
We didn't light fire.
What?
That would probably. Stop
the fire.
Yeah.
It was always burning.
That's what he would sing about people on fire. Sam.
Yeah.
All right. Hold on. The Fonz burning in an oven right now.
And they died, right? Every time I said, thank you, guys. I tried that.
You just won an Emmy.
Thank you.
Don't Anne Hathaway it and just bring it everywhere like she did. What was it? What was it for? The not the Grammys, an Oscar? I don't know.
She won for probably Les Misérables.
Yeah, but when she did it, she carried it around everywhere after like the after parties.
I would.
Yeah,
I'd get a thing drilled into my forehead so that everywhere I walked was like a hood ornament. Everywhere I went, I'd be like, oh, is that your Oscar? I'd be like, yeah, that's my Oscar. You know? What are they gonna say? They don't have an Oscar. You do. You're way better than they are. That's.
I'd still status, be carrying it around.
That's how statuses work.
All right.
You know? How long ago has Les Miserables been out? How long ago has Les Miserables?
How long has Lost Marbles been out?
Where's my marbles?
That's what. Oh, man.
That's who the fuck is Les Miserables?
That's John's actual, like, everything, every other way John talks is actually him imitation of a regular person. He actually talks like a straight, just down south, great guy.
One of my favorite thing to do is pronounce words wrong on purpose in that voice. Just anything.
Yeah. My favorite thing to do is, read rap lyrics that are just the super dirty ones when I talking to them in a super white voice. So, like, you know, just, yeah, I'll take you to the candy shop and I'll let you lick my lollipop.
Dude, that's from a movie.
No, it's not.
From Epic Movie. They're on a date.
Never seen Epic
Movie.
They're
on a date on a table and the one lady's like, what's your favorite song? And he goes, I'll take you to the candy shop.
Like, you know, the guy that sings it at the end of what you call it?
No, dude, it's at the, like, at the beginning of the movie.
It's
that scrawny-looking blonde dude who's only in the spoof movies, and then I haven't seen him since.
That's the only thing you know him from is the spoof movies? Well, I'll have to watch it. I've never...
Alright.
I don't think anybody watched
it. But I don't just do it with that one.
Yeah,
that's
I was the only one.
Head.
I was the only one in the theater.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I thought being free.
Made $7.
It was a matinee, so it was $5.50.
Oh, okay.
But I'm going to do a free plug. Ant-Man, saw that the other day. Good movie, guys. Yeah. I throw it out there. Comedic factor, and it's a lot higher than I thought it'd be than
Ant-Man.
It's the new Marvel movie.
Paul Rudd like actually wrote the movie and stuff.
He
like,
wrote part of it.
Yeah,
really?
It's he's ripped. He doesn't look like Paul Rudd. Yeah. I mean, his face does, but it's thinner. But he's like jacked, so it's like good for Paul Rudd for being able to do that.
Oh, so he's the Ant-Man.
He is Ant-Man,
and he wrote it.
Yeah, yeah. It's like his
no.
It's like his third screenplay he wrote or something like that. Like. So, yeah.
It was good. Comedic value. Like I said, I went and saw it. I think it was just going to be a good Marvel movie with action and stuff, but the comedy made it better than I thought it would be, is what I'm saying.
So. I think Paul Rudd's underrated and is funny. Some of the... I don't know. He's funny.
I went to watch Inside Out the other night, and I laughed my ass off. I thought it was so
funny.
I've
never seen it.
It's
that Pixar, Disney Pixar movie about your feelings, bro.
Yeah.
You're
just
getting here with it.
It's,
I don't have those.
Well, let me go take another pee real quick, and then you'll go back into your feelings.
No, it just makes everybody else sad. I don't know. I'm fine.
No, you enjoyed it? It was good?
It was really good.
Did you see it in 3D?
No, not the 3D, but I don't know that...
For those listening, Jake just put his hands up in disappointment.
Yeah. You gotta see it in 3D if you're going to theaters. You got to.
I don't know. I've been disappointed a lot with the 3D. Like, there's, you know, some are cool, but, like, we watched Jurassic World in 3D and Mad Max in 3D, and those were fun. But I couldn't see Inside Out being, like, a great 3D movie.
For a person that had a 3D TV whenever I lived with my parents and we watched it all the time,
yeah.
Animated movies, best 3D things there are, especially ones that are, like, 3D, like, with the already has the dimensions with it. Like, I have Lion King on 3D is amazing because of all the stuff that they do in 3D, but stuff that had, like, the dimensions actually computer-generated, not, like, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I get it. I have 3D at home as well, and so there's been, I know. But, I don't know. I just, nothing, thinking about it, I mean, I'm sure there was something, but it wasn't, like, a lot of those moments where, you know, like, stuff's coming out of the screen, you know, like, you can tell, like,
Jurassic World.
When there's like a T-Rex flying out of the window or whatever it is, or you know,
that was
like
worth seeing in 3D. I saw that before I saw Ant-Man.
But anyway, Inside Out, the great man, a bunch of great voices. That's what you know was a lot of fun with it too. Yeah. Just
Louis Black,
but
he's anger.
Yeah,
everyone's a feeling. They're all feelings. Every single thing, every main character in Inside Out is a feeling, and anger is Louis Black, which is like most fitting.
Don't give away the movie.
Yeah.
No, like everybody besides you knows what the movie's about because they've heard of it before. But Yeah, that's what it's about. But if you want to see a really good show, you should go July 31st.
Yeah.
To America's Tavern, where it's going to be that's a comedy throwdown.
That's pretty much like going to be like Ant-Man, I heard, right?
It's going to be, yeah, a lot of comedic value, but mixed with a bunch of feelings. Yeah. Like, you know,
it's going to be a little more like and, Minions.
And
it's like Minions, exactly. Bunch of dudes babbling on stage, you don't know what the hell they're talking about. And then at the end, you're like, that was good.
But
it wasn't bad. Yeah. Yeah. You're like, that wasn't bad. It wasn't bad.
And you guys are pretty much ripped like Paul Rudd, so, I mean,
yeah,
it's going to be like the same thing.
Pretty much ripped like Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
We're muscular guys, I would say. On a scale of 1 to 2, we're a solid 2, for the listeners out there in all of America. And some of Mexico, I heard. And I heard Mexico's got a good, strong Rock Paper Podcast following.
Yeah, I heard that. Right. One thing I wanted to bring up, because it was just killing me when you were doing it, was the when you were live tweeting or whatever your jury duty stuff.
Ah, yes. My jury duty.
Yeah. That whole day was one of the best days for me on the internet. I was just cracking up.
It wasn't bad. It was fun. So what happened was the night before was WrestleMania 31. And I'm a wrestling fan. Just went to Battlegrounds in St. Louis on Sunday. And so this was about probably 5 months ago or so, maybe four. And I decided, after WrestleMania, we were drunk. We were all talking about how I had to be up early for jury duty. And at WrestleMania, the party I had over here at my place, I was wearing a Hulk Hogan outfit. And they said, hey, you should go to jury duty in Hulk Hogan outfit. First thought is like, great, that sounds awesome. Started talking about the legal ramifications. Texted my lawyer that night and said, hey, is there anything I could say? And they could say they could try to hold you, or the worst they could do is send you home and reschedule your jury duty. I said, fair enough, boom, done.
Yeah.
And then...
Is this like just the Hulkamania shirt or what?
No, we're talking tights.
The pants.
We're talking tights,
bandana,
all of it, dude. So, tights, great tights.
They're, this is the yellow Hogan, not,
oh, yeah,
not Hollywood.
Oh, no, we're talking straight red. Yellow Hogan, yeah. Head to toe.
Jacob Mania.
I had the sunglasses, everything. I go in.
You got Jimi Hendrix cranked up on
theme
music?
Yep, all day. No, I walk in, everybody's just staring at me, and I'm just not even, I'm acting like I don't even notice they're staring at me. I go in, go throughout my day, and then I just start, screw it, I'm going to start just doing like my trials of jury duty and just talk about my day. It was a lot more exciting reading on the internet, I heard, than my actual day.
Oh, yeah?
They start calling names, and they don't say anything for my name the entire day. So I sat there all day, tried to do something fun, and ended up just it was Facebook messages,
yeah,
or Facebook statuses. But it was a good time. This is the actual true part that did happen. I'm wearing this all day. Nobody talks to me the entire time. Nobody calls my name. I'm sitting around with just a name tag on in a Hulk Hogan outfit. And finally, at the end of the day, I'm walking around, and some lady comes up and goes, hey, nice outfit. Did you enjoy WrestleMania yesterday? And I just look at her and I go, I have no idea what WrestleMania is, lady. And just walk away. To which that lady was probably like, this man right here is crazy, or this is actually Hulk Hogan. So I think she might have thought,
what's WrestleMania?
That's what I literally said. I was like, I have no idea what WrestleMania is, lady. It was the first person that talked to me. Yeah, straight face, nothing. That was the end of the conversation. And so I'm sure the lady felt very puzzled. But
right.
Oddly enough, that same day I went to the DMV dressed as China. A little alternative, but it was a lot of fun.
Got a lot of looks.
Your skinny body.
Yeah, and I had to do the same amount of waiting, and it was hard to sit down in that outfit. I didn't know whether to cross my legs or what to do. So did a lot of standing.
It was a good day because I mean. I did it for the wonderful state of Missouri because they asked me to do my duty of jury.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I walked out, with a check for, $16. Unfortunately, $12 of it was taken by the vending machine because I'm fat and I was sitting there for a long time looking at it. But
somebody's got to keep that protein in that Hulk Hogan body.
Yeah, I mean...
And then after that, you went and fucked China.
Yeah, exactly. And it was only I only had to spend like $30 on shirts I ripped off throughout the day, so it was a good experience.
And shirts only cost $3 a piece.
But if anybody out there is listening and was with a guy in a Hulk Hogan outfit, I mean, there was like 150 people in there. I can't believe I've heard one person go to me like, were you the guy in the Hulk Hogan outfit at jury duty? It's like, I walked by like a lot of people, and I would assume they would never expect to see a guy in a Hulk Hogan outfit in this area.
Especially in like a
a courthouse area, like, ever. So I'm pretty shocked that nobody's, like, messaged me, like, hey, I think my aunt or uncle or cousin or something was with you. I've never heard of anybody saying they saw me, but it was a good time.
Out of those 150 people, I bet you only, like, five of them went home. It was like, there was this guy dressed up as Hulk Hogan.
No way. You know there's more than five.
I don't know.
Well, I bet... I don't know, man. I bet a lot of people...
I think five's a good number. Sorry to interrupt.
I bet a lot of people were thinking that was pretty normal around here. Like,
normal?
There's a lot of weird people out there, man. And it seems most of them have to do jury duty, so... Well,
I guess I thought I was being original, and I sucked, guys. I'm sorry. Next time I'll do better.
That was...
I'll just go naked.
That was very hack, man.
It was original when there was a Randy Savage in the courthouse.
Yeah. That would have been terrible. Like, oh, man, I was left.
The first half hour was them staring each other down.
Just turning in the room, like, squaring each other up. What you gonna do, brother? Oh, yeah! Snap into it.
That would be so funny.
It's got Slim Jim pocket coming out of the pockets.
Are you not a wrestling fan? Or current day? Like, there was one in St. Louis, a pay-per-view. That's huge.
Yeah. No, I knew that was going on, but I don't know. I haven't watched... my buddy, Chris, who I used to do the show with, that we started together, he has the WrestleMania party, and then... Yeah, he does WrestleMania, and Alex does Royal Rumble, and I go to those two every year. It's more like a, you know, just a big event and things. But I don't watch a lot of the, you know, Raws or whatever in different weekly episodes.
I'm a pretty hardcore follower now.
I'm pretty much same page as you, Shane. I come to Jake's for his little parties. I was there that night before he went to jury duty in my China outfit.
He looked good. He pulls off a really good China. Yeah. For being a skinny little white boy, he pulls off a really good black-haired China. Put it that way. It's impressive.
Minus the muscles. She's way more cut than I am. I bet you she's still in better shape than I am.
Oh, she could bench press more than you could right now.
Yeah. I don't doubt it.
When was the last time you bench pressed?
Never.
Hers was probably this morning.
Yeah. But not... I don't know. I used to watch a lot 90s. I used to watch a lot of WCW Nitro. I was big into the scene at that time with the whole NWO and Red and Black and the Outsiders and all those days. Bill Goldberg and all that. But I don't know. Yeah, it's just something I haven't really been able to follow, but I do enjoy those events with them, and it kind of like allows me to kind of catch up. But like I don't know.
For sure, if it's a big pay per view like WrestleMania, they pretty much recap like here's what happened in the last year since WrestleMania. Right. Yeah. Like here's all the feud of the, you know, they pretty much recap it. But it's a good time no matter what, even if you don't know anything. It's just fun to watch a bunch of bunch of jacked up old men just throwing each other around, baby.
What do you think of like? Like Cena now, like in Trainwreck and stuff, and like, and I saw him. He's in another movie coming out too. Like,
I
just think it's, you know, kind of making that transition into.
I mean, anytime an athlete or anything like that can dip into movies and they're good at it, why not? I mean, people are going to go see it for that reason, just for them being in it, and then on top of that, they're good at it, so keep feeding them roles. But apparently, he was decent in that movie as well. I read.
Yeah.
Now I haven't seen John Cena enough in movies to have an opinion, but I'm going to state it anyway. I think The Rock is a better actor than John Cena.
Oh, for sure.
I think he's I think John Cena is just that popular to where if you put him in movies, people are going to watch it.
Right. You'd be surprised at how the tide's turning, though, about the John Cena fan. It's mostly younger people now. All the younger kids like him. But when I was at the pay-per-view on Sunday, there was, I feel like, more people chanting, you know, his theme song. They were chanting, John Cena sucks. And there was more people saying that during the song than, like, people cheering about like for him. So there's... more people right now against him as far as popularity goes, so it's pretty interesting watching that tide turn.
Even the people that don't like him, they would watch his movies. You know, he's a marketable.
They're
person.
Just sick of him seeing him at the top of the WWE as far as like being the championship. Like, let's get some young guns in there. You know, let's get some young guns.
Rumble, or whatever. Well, then,
I guess it was WrestleMania was the last big one. The last big one was WrestleMania, so it
was the
John Cena vs. Rusev, and Rusev came out on a tank.
I don't remember. Whatever. I remember, like, everybody started booing at the end because...
That was the Royal Rumble, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Because they thought Reigns was going to...
Reigns ended up winning, and that's what they were booing about. Yeah. Even though The Rock came out, like they a lot of people weren't happy with that. They wanted Daniel Bryan to do well.
Right.
But funny thing is, they didn't make Daniel Bryan the winner, even though they wanted him to be because he was everybody's favorite. 2 months after that Royal Rumble, he got hurt, and now he's out for life. Like, he's done. He retired because he can't wrestle anymore because he hurt. I forgot what he hurt, but... So even if he won that, he wouldn't even be able to wrestle by the time WrestleMania came around. Right. So most of the fans were just dumb. I like Roman Reigns, so I was pumped about that outcome. Yeah. But people were booing it because they liked Daniel Bryan. But
you mentioned The Rock as an actor, and I haven't watched it yet, but that San Andreas, like...
No, I haven't seen it either.
That trailer just cracks me up because the clip with The Rock in the helicopter... And he's like the biggest damn helicopter pilot I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah, you ever see.
You know, barely grips the wheel, like his arms don't go that far.
There's no co-pilot because he wouldn't fit. Yeah, right. He would have been shoved out by Rock's elbow holding this tiny plane.
Looks like me on a tricycle with a Rock in a helicopter.
They tried the first helicopter. He's like, I don't know what I'm doing wrong, but it's not taking off. He's like, Rock, you're just too heavy. You can't be in this helicopter. We have to get you a different helicopter. This one's propellers will not get you off the ground.
Yeah. When he hosted SNL, he did like his opening monologue that he was box office Viagra or something like that, and it really is true. Like even he, when they put him in those,
even a small role.
Well, they put him in those Fast and Furious movies, and they totally gave that franchise life again. And and those, I mean, they're a lot of fun. I mean, people say what they want, but they're fun movies to go see. Like
besides the second one, or the Tokyo Drift. That's the only one.
I'm just saying, like, the latest...
they keep going like this now.
5, 6, and 7 have been fun. You know? Yeah.
Here's the thing about The Rock. He does that to movies like that he's like a guest... Like, I guess you'd call it a guest or whatnot. But if you put him in, like, as the star, the face of the movie, like Hercules was one of his recent ones.
Right.
They don't...
Tooth Fairy.
Yeah, they're not blockbusters. Yeah. They're usually, maybe not necessarily disappointing, but they're not... box office smashes.
Yeah.
Now look at this.
Yeah, he's not the lead guy. I hear what you're saying. He's not. If it's any movie where he's the main guy, it's not as good of a movie, whereas he's like the second guy.
Sure.
You know.
Absolutely. And it's not that, I don't know what it, there's, I don't know.
Well, it's because he's not the best actor in the world. Right. He couldn't do, you wouldn't watch a Rock serious movie.
Yeah.
Or a Rock drama. I wouldn't watch a Rock drama where it's just him, not action, but it's just like him being like, a scientist or something. Like, what?
Yeah.
If they did that after every dramatic scene, I would want them to do a cut scene where it's just like a wrestling announcer going, Rock drama! Oh, like the Rock Bottom or something. Oh, Rock drama!
No, or at the end of everything, like every scene, like with a big question, he just does like, takes off his glasses, does the people, like the eyebrows. Yeah. You know, every time. Just does the eyebrows, takes off his glasses,
and starts the question. Yeah. Starts.
Yeah.
Do you smell what the drama's. I don't fucking know.
I wrote down a couple of things I wanted to bring up, and one of them here ties in pretty nicely because I read online today that LeBron James signed a deal with Warner Brothers, and thinking it could be potentially a Space Jam 2.
LeBron confirmed it. A roommate talked about it earlier, and I thought it was a joke because people, like, 2 or 3 years ago, there was a fake story going around that said he was going to do it.
Yeah, there was. That's what I'm saying. I was making sure this one wasn't, like, on
I mean, his LeBron James' Facebook posted, like, actually his Facebook posted that he was happy to announce that they signed to do...
Well, yeah, so they signed the deal, but I was trying to read, like, I guess there's nothing,
I read it was confirmed. Like, it was like 2 hours ago, 3 hours ago. Like,
so there's actually like they're all working on a script and
apparently
stuff?
Apparently, like that's what he signed for is for that. So we'll see how that works.
I mean, Space Jam is one of my favorites. So it could be cool to see LeBron doing something with the story. And
I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah.
I mean, they're like, oh, it's a classic, but don't you want kids these days or in the future to keep doing like, what's it called? Bugs Bunny and stuff movies? Yeah, Looney Tunes movies? Yeah. Like, what? What's the next step? Why switch it to a different sport instead of just going with what they're already going with? And heck, why not try to get Michael in there a little bit too? Give him some money and try to give him an appearance or two in Space Jam 2. Yeah. When, you know, Why not?
Sure. I'm sure you could...
You think MJ will cameo in it or something?
Wouldn't it be awesome if the Looney Tunes try to come back to get MJ, and then he says that he's too old, and then he like, says, hey, how about you try out this guy, because the Looney Tunes don't know what aging is, because all the right. Looney Tunes
didn't
age.
See the script?
I actually wrote it, guys. I'm writing I wanted to be the first one to say it, and on this podcast, that I am writing, directing, and co-starring in Space Jam
2. Another exclusive right here.
You're going to be the Bill Murray of the new Space Jam.
Yep. Exactly. Exactly.
That would be the role for you.
That's it. That's what.
All right, guys, we're gonna play. Oh man, I'm tired. We actually played in a full court basketball league for like one session, one and a half sessions. I only did half the second session. I still owe that dude $45. I don't know.
Here's a just thought of a story. I used to. Work running the scoreboard for this men's basketball league.
Cool.
One of the teams had Jeremy Macklin on the team. And do you know Jeremy? Football wide receiver.
Wide receiver. He went to Mizzou, went to Kirkwood High School. Yeah. Then he went to the Eagles. So I think he stole the Eagles.
Buddies or something.
Yeah, his buddy's on the team kind of thing, and he's just kind of tagging along. Sort of deal, and this guy who like the captain of the team or whatever was like, I guess Jeremy owed him like $40 or whatever to play, you know, kind of thing, and like they never paid to play, kind of deal. So like he ended up kicking Jeremy Macklin off of his basketball team and stuff. Like I just maybe like I'm like the guy is, yeah. You know. Signed a super multi-million-dollar deal, and he can't
fork out $40
to play in a league. But I think also probably wasn't supposed to be playing in the league. Kind of, you know,
restrictions and certain contracts. But,
you think?
But I mean, you know,
can't do physical activity.
Certain
there.
Things. There's only one person that's ever had a game contract where they can play their actual sport whenever they want in any pickup game ever, and that's Michael Jordan, who had a clause in his contract, the for love of the game clause. And he could play pickup basketball even during the season if he wanted to. And he was out during like the All-Star break, and there was a game.
But you know, other players can't do that.
Nobody else. Like they might be able to play other sports during the off-season of the contract, but they couldn't play like their own sport in like a rec league. With right. Michael Jordan could have, because he just put that in his contract because he was such a superstar when he re-signed that was like his thing.
So have you seen the Uncle Drew thing where Kyrie?
Yeah, that would have to be off-season probably. Then he would have to agree. Like he would have to talk to.
Oh,
so
they can.
I'm sure they talk. I'm sure
whatever they want.
Yeah, if they talk about it during off-season and they talk like they clear with them, I'm sure it's good. But with Michael Jordan, he just had a thing where he could play whenever, wherever he wanted. I mean, there's been other cases where athletes have gotten in trouble even off-season playing games without okaying it because, like, a cell phone video got captured these days.
Right.
And, like, I think it was Greg Oden right after his first knee surgery whenever he was in the NBA.
I would get mad because Greg Oden's
got in big trouble. He got in big trouble because he was playing in, like, a YMCA league and they had videotape of it. And then they got, you know, got in. Huh. But, yeah, the only person that's ever had where they played forever.
There was, of course, according to stories at the league there that... Apparently, Albert played in the same league.
Albert Pujols?
Yeah, and like when his rookie year or something like that, and like I was just like, man, that would have been pretty cool, like to, you know, get to meet him before he blew up.
Yeah,
but yeah, cool. I mean, I saw Jeremy there. I didn't get to talk. I mean, there was I'd heard stories that he was in the league, like because from the other branch, like they travel kind of thing. And then, like, so when he finally came to my branch, then it was like, he shows up, and I was like, oh, this is cool. And then, like, you know, and then 2 minutes later, he gets kicked off the team. And so, like, I was like, oh, well, that was, that's that.
Yeah, that was quick.
Paying the $40 doesn't, like, it's not like they're going to trace it. Yeah, like, oh, yeah. I saw you paid $40?
All right. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that was the case. But, yeah, or if he was just being whatever it was. But, yeah.
He's just like, oh, I'm hot shit. I don't have to pay people money. It's a blessing that I'm in your presence right now.
Talk about hot shit and professional players playing a rec sport. Do you see Wainwright yesterday? He pitched slow pitch softball or whatever for his daughter's team, and then he said he would do it for the other team too. Like, they usually have a pitching machine, but it was broken, so he was doing like soft pitch for him or whatever. And the other coach was like, no, I'll just pitch for my team. And I'm like, how mad would you have been if you were a girl on the other team, even though they were young, or like the dad of the girl on the other team? Yeah. Like, our head coach didn't let, because he thought he was hot shit, that he didn't let Wainwright pitch Like, how awesome, like, you know what I mean? And then
right. It's either that or he's like, oh, Wainwright's going to pitch them meatballs.
And yeah.
I'm going to pitch them.
I mean, we're talking like, I'm pretty sure it was like around 10. Mean, like, yeah. Like, it was like age 10 girl, like not right. competitive anything. It was just, and I'd be like, oh, I'd be so mad at my dad. Yeah. 10 years from now, I'd be like, Dad, you're the coach. You didn't let Wainwright pitch to me. He's like, Jay, you know. Somebody said that as he was walking off, they heard him say, like, I told him I'd pitch this year. That's what he said, that Wainwright said that. Like, Wainwright said to somebody, because he promised whenever he got hurt that he'd pitch this year.
Right.
Hey. So there you go. He pitched this year. It was just for the...
What a play.
Just, yeah. for the... Oh, yeah, on cue.
Matt Carpenter with a double play from third to first. Score still 0-0, bottom of the sixth.
There you go. Good job, Maddie. That was great.
Oh, it was a foul ball.
Weak.
John Maddie wastes a commentary moment. Brought to you by Rock Paper Podcast. We're broadcasting to you live from the Jake Ashlock Apartment Studios on a fancy Toshiba laptop, at least 6 years old.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't had one of those.
Hey, man, I keep it classy, you know. Rocking the, you know, that's
yours is in a way better shape than mine is. So. Mine's in a basement somewhere. Collecting dust.
Next was poured.
Yeah, I don't even have a basement. It's not even in the basement.
It's in the back of his car. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, we'll wrap this up. Come out.
Aw.
We're about that time, man.
Oh,
I had fun though.
Yeah.
This was a lot of. That's so. I don't want it to end.
Wait.
It was fun.
We can keep going for part two.
Well, and next time he's scraping the bottom of the barrel for guests again, he can have us come back on.
Yeah, definitely,
Hopefully we'll be better. We're doing really well. We're only getting better is what I was going to say.
We have more shows in the next coming months. There's one in September and October. So.
July 31st, what we've been talking about at America's Tavern, Friday, July 31st at 9 p.m., that's our first showcase we've ever put together. Like, I've never put a show together myself. I've never called comics. Like, I've had an open mic, but that ain't shit. So it's nice to have my first show, so we'll see how it goes. It's a free show. It's going to be a lot of fun. Me and Jake are battling each other.
Battling.
We picked three comics apiece, and it's on our team. And John Maddie's going to whip Jake Mania's ass.
Not a chance. He's getting his ass whooped. We already know.
Did we decide what the...
We haven't decided yet, I don't think. No. We're going to figure it out.
The only idea that Jake has agreed... to maybe do as well as shave one eyebrow.
Or shave both. You might as well do both if you're doing one.
He refuses to eat dog food.
I wouldn't eat dog food.
He won't cut the locks, which I understand that. He's
2 years going, man.
That is a lot of work right there.
Yeah. I'm confident in my team, but I'm not that confident in my team. You know what I'm saying?
With his hair down, he looks kind of like Jay fucked Silent Bob, though.
Exactly.
That was actually my last year Halloween costume. I was both. I was the love child of Jay and Silent Bob.
That's dope.
I just wore like a black hoodie and I had the beard going and I put I had this white or a blonde wig. So I put the long blonde wig on and then I put the beanie on top of it and
damn,
so that was
all out.
That was sort of my.
Your go-to.
Yeah. Nobody knew what I was, but I was like, it was a last second ditch effort for a Halloween costume. I was like, I got a wig and a hat. Okay, I'm
Silent J.
Yeah. If all else fails, just wear sweatpants and a hoodie, and if people ask what you are, be like, man, I'm comfortable, and you won't. Yeah. That's all you have to say. That's it. Like, I'm comfortable, you're wearing fucking face paint.
Give me some candy.
Give me that candy. I'm crazy newspaper face boy. Let's remember that.
Yep. I'm saying like,
give me that candy.
But hey, it was a joy being on your podcast.
Fun fact: you guys got to learn something besides our great show that's on July 31st on Friday
at America's Tavern.
China, former pro wrestler, also porn star
with X-Pac.
Yeah. I did not know that until I just Wikipedia'd her when I talked about wearing her costume.
Yeah, what were they? One Night in China, I think they called it.
One Night in China, X-Pac in China.
They should have called it One Nut in China. But then we wouldn't have got that reference, I guess.
What was his name? He wasn't 1-2-3 Kid. It was, what was his other character?
I don't remember what it was.
He went by somebody else before X-Pac and stuff.
I don't even know who that is.
We'll have to Google it. It'll have to go to the Google machine at some point.
Degeneration X.
Yep. Or the Bob.
Woo! Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you for hanging out with me.
Hey, thank you.
I really appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you for listening, everyone out there in the world of America.
Yeah.
John Maddie and Jake Ashlock, hopefully coming to your eardrums soon.
Yeah, come out, see these guys. They're always out performing around town. So, you guys got a, you want a Twitter or anything they want to follow?
At LL Cool Jake or Jake Ashlock on Facebook. Follow me and hear about my shit.
At JAYMADD32. JMAD32. Nice. Spell out J.
Oh, how many? You have those 31 other JMADs?
No, it was my number when I played basketball.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm weird like that. 32 is my number, bro. Oh, yeah. Gotta get that jersey. 32. That's how I was in high school, like a little idiot.
Yeah. All right, that's it. Episode 97. It's a wrap.